text this morning is the Holy Gospel as it was read to you from the lectern. I can't believe it's happening to me. I can't believe it's happening to us. If you saw the documentary on the Queen Mother, Elizabeth I, the other night on Channel 9, and it reminded me of the time when World War II came, and the children in Britain, the children who lived in London, had all to be sent out into the countryside. The whole idea was, if we do not protect our children from the bombs that are falling and from the fierceness of these air attacks, the children will be the first to die, and therefore we will send them to the countryside to strangers whom they had never met, and we will stay in London, and we will fight, and we will do our work, and we will continue on with life. I imagine that if any of those parents had in mind when they originally conceived and brought those children into life, that someday they would be sending them to the countryside because it was too difficult for those children to live at home, they would have never believed it. And when it happened, they probably said, "I can't believe this is happening to us." And that's the context in which we find our text for today. It's a nice treatise on the Holy Spirit, but the context is everything. For the context has a group of disciples gathered together, and they are so dumbfounded, they are so upset with the scenario, they are so overwhelmed by the circumstances that they don't know what to say. They don't even know what to ask. They're just blobs of helplessness standing there by Jesus Christ. They need something. And I imagine one of the thoughts could have been, "I can't believe this is happening to us." Oh, not that they didn't know that Jesus was going to die and that his life was always hanging in the balance. It was a precarious thing. John records earlier in his 7th chapter that Jesus no more, when he went around Judea, he was very careful because he knew that the Jews were lying in wait there to take his life. And again, later on in John 10, where Jesus is there, and it says, the Jews again took stones up that they might throw them at him. But they tried to seize him, and he got away from their grasp. We fail to see the drama of it. We fail to see the possible violent nature of it all. We fail to see the harrowing experience of the disciples who finally said, "You're not going back to Bethany just because Lazarus died. Don't you know that people are going to kill you there?" And Thomas finally said, "Let us go with him that we may die with him." So in the upper room and in the garden, this is not just idealism and idealistic talk. It's life and death. This is it. And the uncertainty about life and death and the questions that the disciples must have had of, what does this mean for my life, you see? I left my nets. I walked away from a good occupation. I gave my tax franchise to somebody else. Just as today one might say, I left the farm. I left a good occupation in corporate America. I left a teaching position that was very secure. Perhaps in their minds, as when you get under stress and trauma, sometimes your whole life starts to go in front of you and you start asking these questions. They just kind of bubble up simply because that's the way we humans are. We always kind of back check when things get under stress. Perhaps echoing in their minds were the people who had said, "You're never going to make any money following him," you say. What will happen to them? They're so dumbfounded, they don't know what to say. Has that ever happened to you? It happened to me one time. When I was 38 years old, my wife and I built our first home. It was the first time we were able to move out of a parsonage, and we had a home built, and we were very pleased with it, and thank God for it. But 3 months later, a tornado was coming across Indianapolis, Kitty Corner, and on television, it was headed right for us. My wife said to our daughter, "It will never happen to us, because of all the houses in Indianapolis, the chances of it hitting us are very, very small, daughter." And when the tornado blew the roof off the house and the rain came in to ruin the belongings that were in the house, then what do you say? I can't believe this is happening to us. I can't believe it. Because I want to have control of life. I want to be able to control my existence and my present and my future as much as possible. And there are things which I cannot control in this life. I cannot control the weather. I cannot control war. I cannot control government or leaders, and very often people. Jesus at one point said, if they hated you, they hated me. And the uncertainty about the life and death issues for these disciples was very clear, and that ultimately is where we get this treatise on the Holy Spirit that becomes this beautiful vignette where Jesus pictures what is going to happen and lays it in the laps of these fearful disciples so that they might have some strong comfort from our Lord. It is for your good that I go away. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. It's for your good. It's best for you. You don't understand. You think you're going to be leaderless, but it's for your good that I go away. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, He will do this work. He will continue on. He will be the one. You're not going to be leaderless. You're not going to be left alone. I will send Him. And whatever I say, He will speak. And He will convict the world. It will be His words that will convict the world. Not just the words that I have spoken that you reiterate when you preach a sermon. It'll be His words speaking to the world. He will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. He will redefine the whole concept of sin. It will no longer be just lying and cheating or not knowing the Sabbath or just having other gods, because now there is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He will convict those people of that, because otherwise their own reason, they will not be able to comprehend it or get it or understand it. It has to be a conviction by God Himself in the heart. He will convict the world of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and the righteousness will no longer be the puffy conceit of humankind. It'll be a righteousness based on faith, that the righteousness, because I am gone. And I, the one who took his own blood and entered into the Holy of Holies, that Jesus Christ will be the righteousness upon His departure. It'll be a righteousness forever, because the righteousness is deposited in heaven where it remains before the heavenly throne. It is not a righteousness that you can see or I can see, because it is concealed from all of us. And when we see each other, we see both sin and saint, both total unrighteousness and depravity, and this beautiful righteousness of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. But basically, it sits there in heaven where it belongs. Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness, Thy beauty are my glorious dress. With these arrayed, you see, that's the kind of thing that ultimately means everything for us fearful people who say, I can't control what's going on about my life, you see. And ultimately, He will convict the world of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And the people who bullied Pilate into executing, letting Jesus be executed, didn't realize that it was all going to be a backlash. That the real judgment was taking place not upon Jesus, but upon the one who tormented and tempted Him, but found only the love and obedience of a man who would fulfill all things that the Father had said that needed to be fulfilled for your salvation and for mine. I can't believe this is happening to us, but it is happening, says Jesus. And it is good as it happens. It is good. I remember holding fast to those two Bible passages while I walked around for 2 days in rather a dumbfounded semi-shock after the tornado had hit. And the two passages were, all things work together for good to those who love God. You just don't see it yet, Gary. And I didn't see it until another year. And secondly, the Lord chastens whom He loves. So we just, in our fearful states, when things don't go right, when things are falling apart, when the future cannot seem to be controlled, when our existence seems to be hanging in the balance, when our mortality is felt in our heart and we feel this utter helplessness as human beings, sinful human beings before the throne of God, then Jesus says it is good. It is good because the Holy Spirit is leading you again to trust
in Jesus and to trust only in Jesus. I can't believe it's happening, but it's happening. It's happening when the Spirit convicts your heart and mine, and by reason of strength, we can't do it ourselves. It's happening because the Holy Spirit continues to work among us through holy absolutions and through pronouncements and through celebrations of the Holy Communion, the presence of Christ among his people by the power of the Word through and the Word, Holy Spirit working among us, you see. It's working when we take the hand of a dying person and say, Christ is your righteousness. He went to prepare a place for you, and if he goes to prepare a place for you, he will come again and receive you unto himself, that where he is, there you may be also. The future is going to be okay. It works when we take the call or the vicarage and just place it into the hands of God and say, it's going to work. Not by my strength, but by your strength, God. Not by my righteousness, but by your righteousness, Jesus. Not by my earnest desire to make it happen, but you're leading gently by the power of that great Holy Spirit. For eye has not seen nor ear has heard what God has revealed, what is in the mind of God, but it has been revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now we see through a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now we just know in part, but then we will know. Until then, we just take it on its face. It is good for you that I'm leaving. It is good. And whatever the future holds for the people of God who trust only in the merits of Christ, it is good. I can't believe this is happening to me, but by the grace of God, it is good. Good. Amen.